Thank you very much, Jack. Appreciate the kind introduction. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Hi, Jack. Hi, everybody.
The co-host, hey, Nigel, how are you? Good to see you.
All good. Yeah, good to see you too.
Good. Would you like me to share some slides there, Jack?
Yes, you can now. Yes, go ahead. It's a pleasure to have you here.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. And I've run a lot of events over many years, and I generally really appreciate the effort it takes to draw together this kind of event. Amazing work as always. And as you said, we've connected a number of times over the last few years. So it's all about creating value, adding value, and put together quite a few slides here, a bit of detail to really take you and the audience through some key areas that Nigel and I have been through. You know, we've been through the tough parts of life as well as the successes as well. So we'll dig deep into that, if that's okay.
That's absolutely fine, Nigel. Share the bad side and the good side and the ugly side of being in business.
Yeah, well, we'll do all of that. Okay, great. Right, well, thank you so much, everybody. I think we're fairly short on time. We've got about sort of 45, 50 minutes, and we'll leave a bit of time at the end for some Q&A. So let me dive in. I think what Nigel and I have experienced, we've been in business 30 years. The power of a hugely positive mindset has been fundamental to our success. And that success is in life, in business, in corporate life, and also in our entrepreneurial journey. We've been involved in establishing startups, we've run mergers, acquisitions, but we left corporate life in 2015 and really had to dig deep on that growth mindset. And we're going to share with you some of those growth mindset aspects that we believe will help you to be successful as property developers and also property investors as well. So let's dive in. So I want to start by asking you a question. And please, in the chat box, just type a percentage. How much percentage profit is there in a development? Just type in a percentage. This happens to be Zero Chaos. It's one of our developments, permitted development scheme, GDV about 12, 13 million, with 44 units permitted development. And then it was before airspace rights, but we got planning for an extra floor. So what percentage profit is there in a development? The answer I typically get is somewhere between 20, 25, 30%, maybe 15%. Let's have a quick look in the chat box. What are we seeing here? 100%, 15%, 20, 20, 300%. That's a nice development. 15, 20. Yeah, so 15, 20, 25, 30% seems to be about the norm. But let's look at that question a little bit more detail. How much profit is there in a development? I didn't ask how much is there in a development. And I think that's the fundamental principle that we've seen over the years. It's about creating shared value. In that development or any development, for instance, yes, there's going to be value profit created for our team, ourselves, our stakeholders, our investors. Also, the institutional funding as well. The vendors, the agents, the tenants, the supply chain, main contractors, all are creating value and creating profit for their organizations and flow through, think taxes as well, our professional team, and also the social impact in the local neighborhood. And I'll come on to that a little bit later on in the presentation. So that creation of shared value, as developers, we are the catalyst. If we don't step up as developers, and create that risk-assured framework, then none of the parties there will have value attributed to their organization. So the reality is, you know, it's the entire GDV of the development which creates shared value rather than just the developer's profit. And it's that mindset that everything we do is creating that law of reciprocity, that shared value across the supply chain. And very few organizations, very few of you here will want to do just one thing once. You'll want to repeat it. And that is, start with version one to get to version 10. You know, each time you're evolving, fine-tuning, tweaking. So it's that creation of shared value, which we also lead on to forms of wealth. And I was really pleased to hear what Jack said earlier on about differing forms of wealth. I think so often we see financial health in the spotlight, but the reality is you've got nothing if you haven't got your physical health and, of course, your mental health as well. But yes, of course, there's financial wealth. There's also the wealth of time, the demands that you have on your time, that freedom of choice. I think that was probably number one for Nigel and I when we left corporate life in 2015 after 25 to 30 years experience there. There's also the relationships, family, friends, you know, who do you want to spend that time with? And then the personal development, the drive. Yes, we retired in our mid-40s from a successful corporate career, but we want that mental stimulation. We're growing all the time. Not only do we read books and research, but also we write books as well. It's great to be able to share. And as we're sharing our knowledge, others are learning as well, and we're learning as well. We learn in that process of authoring books and various things as well, creating apps and designs. So that's that law of reciprocity live in action. Our property developers and investors, Facebook groups, LinkedIn groups, we also have a podcast. So if you like what you're hearing today, you can always supplement that with lots of knowledge there in the podcast as well. A little bit about Nigel and myself. We've spent 30 years in business, in property. A lot of our properties was commercial real estate. Well, pretty much all of it was commercial real estate, power stations, fiber networks, data centers. And the type of capital deployment for us would be anywhere from 50 million to $1 billion. We've worked in 33 odd countries across four continents and led organizations which have had hundreds to thousands of employees. We've both run mergers, acquisitions. We've been in startup phase. We've developed businesses and sold businesses. We're business leaders and we're also investors ourselves as well. Parallel roles that we've also had is as corporate troubleshooters. When the chairman of an organization calls and said, Mark, could you just, you know, that could have been anything from getting on a plane, going to Sydney or any other country or continent to sort out some, you know, pretty horrendous corporate war zones. So having seen the worst activities and scenarios that can happen in corporate life, you know, you learn from that and learn to build businesses on solid foundations. And in growing teams, you naturally become mentors. And we've moved that through to being non-executive directors over 25 years ago. Nigel and I met in 1998 and have sat on boards, being non-exec directors and co-founders of organizations pretty consistently for all those 24 years since. Just give you a bit of a snapshot of some of the types of projects, very large, complex organizations, lots of infrastructure there, lots of risks that have to be navigated. And you get the theme of creating assured outcomes. We then translated that knowledge into this type of portfolio. These are just a few of the projects we've been involved in. There's around about 100 million of developments there, 300 odd apartments, houses, commercial units. Some are under construction. Some we sold many years ago. Others we've retained and they sit in our Equiliving portfolio as well. Some also sit in our SAS pension. And in fact, SAS was one of those areas that we really tried to bring to everybody's attention, because we wanted to challenge ourselves to be in control of all aspects of our life when we left corporate life. And one of those areas in our mid-40s was to take control of our pensions. So creating property portfolios, taking control of our pension, acquiring commercial property in our SAS. We've got another one that we're doing at the moment, and creating value through commercial to residential conversions as well, has been pretty pioneering work for us. And we like sharing that with you as well. So we're going to go through a number of mindset traits, and anybody who knows me know I love a good quote, find really inspiring. This one from General George Patton: if everyone is thinking alike, then somebody isn't thinking. You know, surround yourself with like-minded people. Well, that's great, but if everybody's thinking exactly the same, you know, so you can get lazy, get complacent. And I think what's been the solid foundation for Nigel and I is, you know, we challenge tradition, we challenge each other. Rather than celebrate the 99%, you know, we'll look at how can we improve the 1% that probably could have gone a little bit better. But we don't suffer from procrastination either. So I think that's a great quote from General Patton, to set off a number of key mindsets here. And these mindsets have been applied to a number of projects, all the projects that I said. This one here is Waybrook House. This is in the stockbroker belt of Surrey, just outside of Guildford. We acquired this property for 2.2 million, GDV of 5.3 million. We raised private capital on a profit share basis for this development. And you can see the before and, the CGIs and the after there. Pretty accurate reflection there. So we've completely exited that development, and we retained about 15% of the units there. Incidentally, if anything I talk about today resonates, if you're interested in what we do at Equa Academy, there is a QR code in the bottom right-hand corner. It's on not every slide, but please do feel free to just hold your phone up to the QR code. It'll go straight to my diary, and you can book a call with me, and I'll help you out. I'll answer your questions and look at how I can help you out long-term in the future. So number one, the growth versus a fixed mindset. Nigel and I have always had visions of how we want to develop our family's investment portfolio and our overall wealth plan. I thought this was great. I saw this only a couple of weeks ago. Your life is beautiful when you know what to look at and what to ignore. And you got two prisoners there seeing very different things from the same viewpoint. So, you know, great example. You can put all the effort in you like, but you need to drive that in concert with a very clear vision. And that vision should be an expansive one. Yeah, you know, that growth mindset, you know, mindset of abundance, not scarcity, and go for growth. I do think there is a danger that many people follow other people's visions. You know, it has to be a strategy that's right for you, right for your family, your loved ones. So don't be a lemming and just follow somebody else because that sounds great, or your vision feels inadequate because it's not as big as somebody else's. But it's not a race to the top. You're only competing with yourself. You're competing with what you're capable of. So yes, seek inspiration, but dial it into a growth mindset that is a level to achieving what you want to achieve and those of your loved ones. This is an example of our, we call it a resilient ecosystem within our wealth economy. We have intellectual property as an asset. All of these are assets in effect. So we've published 5 books, and we've got ECRA IDA, which is a nationally renowned methodology of analysing property investment and development investments. So that you can find details of the ECRA IDA on ecraacademy.co.uk. So we have those 6 intellectual property assets. We are investors ourselves, We strategically invest in a number of businesses. We've done a lot of commercial to residential conversions. In fact, we've just secured this week another development, which will be about 14 million GDV in the home counties. So really excited about that one and working with our equity investors. So we do lots of developments, commercial to residential conversion and land development, new build. That's either new build commercial or new build houses. We've acquired about 22 commercial units over the last 7 years. We've got lots of HMOs, about 150 HMO rooms. Don't really talk about them a great deal. We did those a number of years ago, and they just chug away in the background and are managed by a small team there. But what's our core foundation? Are single lets, buy-to-lets. We've got a lot of those. And we create those with our commercial to residential and land development strategies as well. But who are we? So fundamentally, it boils down to six things. We're investors, we're business owners, we're SaaS trustees, we're developers, business mentors, and we're husbands and dads. We've both got four children each. So we have busy home lives and you know, I know Nigel and I both share this, you know, the joy of actually seeing the kids grow up and working with them and enabling them to grow with a passion that suits them is one of the wonderful pleasures in life. So I mentioned buy-to-lets. Buy-to-lets are the core. Yes, we buy buy-to-lets, but primarily we create buy-to-lets. And we create those through commercial conversions, mixed-use schemes, new build, and also new acquisitions as well. So if your commercial to residential conversion, if that's your strategy and you're looking to hold, you're actually in buy-to-lets. And I think a lot of people miss that. Now, there are very clear ways from structuring tax efficiency of how you acquire, how you structure the VAT, the tax efficiency. And we'll come on to in a little bit, we'll touch on structure and tax efficiency, but we are very focused on that. So our company structuring gets a lot of interrogation, how we use limited companies, trusts, SaaS, LLPs, and how we look at ourselves as well, because personally, we are a separate legal entity to our companies, LLPs, trusts, and other environments as well. So we share that freely with our mastermind and mentees as well. Let's look at the next mindset here. The mindset of relationships. Surround yourself with great people. And Nigel and I have had the privilege of having mentors in our life. I'm not sure we always knew them to be mentors, but you know, seeking great wisdom from great people, having them around. We've had very, very dynamic roles in corporate life that have led us at the bleeding edge and the leading edge of business as whole sectors have gone through transformative change. And you need business visionaries to do that. And those business visionaries have been around us. They've helped motivate us. They've given us clarity and direction. And we've taken a lot from each one of those relationships. But we've always surrounded ourselves with great people. And one of the great pieces of advice that we were given when we set up an organization in 2002, actually, within a PLC environment. And I'm going to share with you a really key learning, a bit of advice that we've never forgotten over the last 20 years. And that is no wankers. And Nigel and I don't really swear a lot. That's not really our thing. But no wankers is in your life is a core principle, really. We've built teams, we've employed people. Having great people on board is absolutely fantastic and will fast track your growth. However, you know, occasionally, you know, you make errors of judgment, bring people on And they sap the energy out of you. And we can't be doing with them, to be honest. You know, everybody's different. We'll find a diplomatic way. But yeah, surround yourself with great positive people. And that's why we created our ECHRA Academy community. And we work with a very select number of people in an atmosphere, a rarefied air that is based on the principles of creating shared value. So it always brings a bit of a smile there, but the serious undertones there. And I think we all understand that. You know, you just don't want them in your life. It's the power to say no. And here's some examples. We run our events, as most of you will know, at Mercedes-Benz World at Brooklands in Surrey. You know, it's hugely inspirational event, steeped in automotive and aeronautical culture. Got Concorde next door, got Formula One cars around the venue. And as you can see, we get around about 150 to 200 people at each event. So in fact, there I am in the top there on stage with the slide you've just seen me present. You've got Nigel there at the bottom center presenting. So we're very active there in discussing with our mentees and masterminders and everybody else. And you can come to that next event. That's on Thursday, the 12th of May. Starts at 4:30. There's a complimentary drink at the bar for you on Nigel and myself. You just need to register there and come and join us for Property Grand Prix, Brooklands Property Grand Prix. So that's fantastic. We've got a great speaker. Justin Davis. Justin is a double through the knee amputee, but despite that, he hasn't let it hold him up. Since then, he's been to Everest Base Camp. He's climbed Mont Blanc, Mount Kilimanjaro. He's done ice climbing, ice waterfall climbing, frequently walking up Penny Fan. The guy is an absolute machine, and he's going to be sharing with us his principles of mindset and how that is helping him. So look, that's a real privilege. We had Brian Wood, Military Cross. He was there a couple of months ago, again, talking about, you know, how he was able to control his emotions and overcome the effects of PTSD. So fantastic. We can all learn so much of these principles in business and also in property investing and developing. So number three, and I'm going to bring Nigel in here. Nigel's fantastic insight. He's been an investor for many decades, and he's got a great quote here. You know, it's much easier to save a pound than to earn a pound, and something you've lived that for many years, Nigel.
It is, absolutely, Mark. And you know, I mean, we all go out there to earn that pound, don't we? But clearly, you know, lots of effort goes into it to secure those pounds or many pounds, whichever it may be. But we know, you know, we're going to be subject to tax and all the rest of it. And by the time it gets into the pocket. But just to think, you know, if you could, you know, review your kind of monthly wealth dashboard, as we call it, you know, looking at the little bits here and there, you know, could you save, could you change that package, could you do this, could you do that, and just save here and there, you know, these pounds here and there, they mount up, they really, really do. And you know, that's what we do, Mark, isn't it? And certainly the people that we help along the journey, it's a total focus really in this area, just to make sure we're hugely efficient in really all aspects of everything that we do.
Yeah, absolutely fundamental. And as you said, that working with our clients on their personal wealth dashboard, you know, imagine if you had all of your affairs on, you know, typically it's a spreadsheet, but on a password protected spreadsheet, everything to do with your health, your wealth, your financial aspects, could be your cars, your utilities, your mortgages. Everything, it's all there, proper formal structure. And Nigel, you have a 2-minute rule, don't you, as well?
You know, if you... I do. Yeah, it's probably kind of the nerdy part of me coming out, but it's really, I mean, my role in our development business is land acquisition. That's my thing, and doing the analysis and those sort of aspects. And I come up against a lot of people that ask questions of me. You know, the question, you know, in terms of the analysis, how did you get to that number, Nigel? How did you get to this number, Nigel? And I have the 2-minute rule. And in terms of, you know, filing structure, et cetera, you know, literally that is the test. So if somebody comes up, it could be the valuer, you know, going to have a look at one of our properties, maybe around a development finance application. And if he says, Nigel, you know, could you tell me how you got to these numbers? Within 2 minutes, I need to be able to provide the absolute answer. I think too many times, and I've certainly learned through the time I've been in business and in property, that if there's a kind of a pause of time, it probably means that you haven't really got the detail, and you're scrabbling around in the background trying to find the detail to then submit. And I think that's where due diligence comes in. It's really, really important. So yes, yeah, you know, it's never particularly my opinion. It's always the opinion of professionals out there. So, you know, we'll go out to various parties to get quotes and views and, you know, papers that'll come in. But we just make sure there's a nice filing structure that answers every question that may or may not come up through our development. So at least when it is asked, the 2-minute rule does apply.
Good stuff. Okay, so here's a little model for you to take away. I'm not going to go through in a huge amount of detail here, but it's the Spruces model, how to manage your costs. Just a little model. If you follow these steps, you'll have a fundamental impact on your cost base. So number one, scrutinize your overheads, business overheads, personal overheads, preserve cash, renegotiate things. Could be your BT contract, your Sky contract, anything to do with business, ethically, of course. Understand spending patterns. They're really important. You know, it could be spending patterns seasonal. It could be emotional spending patterns. Collecting cash, looking at your aged debtors. I mean, this really is from our business roots. Somebody's got your money. You know, it's when you're placing your invoices there, look at the terms and look at how you bring cash in. We've had to be in business rescue mode in our careers where we've been parachuted into organizations corporate troubleshooters. And the fundamentals of cash management normally are the first thing that goes awry in any struggling organization. Expenses, key thing. If you're setting up a company, get yourself a clear monthly expense regime. If you spend money and you don't document it, you'll never get it back. It's gone forever. And it's post-tax money normally as well. But if you're spending money on your business, record it. Put it in as an expense into the company. And you might say, well, yeah, but my company hasn't got any cash yet to pay my expenses. Just put a board minute there with your accountant to say that as a director, you've agreed that expenses held on the balance sheet and not paid will attract a small interest. So actually, rather than not putting expenses in and post-tax cash is lost forever, it becomes an investment and you'll get that return over time as soon as the organization has the ability to pay that. Savings, having a clear savings, having a cash buffer, but also understanding what you're going to do with those savings and move that in from savings into investment. Because savings is just a static method. You want that active investment method. So it's looking at that further profile and plan. And then finally, number 8 is the exclamation mark, is prioritize, taking time. And Nigel and I have a personal wealth dashboard. Doesn't take a huge amount of time. Sometimes we'll visit it daily, sometimes weekly, but absolutely, as a minimum, it will be on a monthly basis. Now, Nigel, you've got a strong background over many years of discipline and respect, and that's a core mindset that you've found for, well, your whole life, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And, you know, I think through life, you know, certain aspects of your life, you know, good or not so good, I think they define who you are. And, you know, I'm a bit of a shout out to parents, you know, here as well. I mean, they kind of craft you into certainly who I am today and some of the core disciplines. And, you know, respect was a big flow through in my upbringing. And indeed my wife's parents as well, when I met them, they were very, very similar thinking. And, you know, I'm hugely grateful to them for that. But I think one of the defining parts, and this kind of came in my early teens, I took up martial arts, and really the purpose or the intent of that training was more around I wasn't necessarily one of those that go to the gym, but I wanted something where I could get physically fit but also learn something else as well, and I really didn't realize what was coming. And I spent 20 years studying the art, both Taekwondo and Shotokan karate, to black belt and beyond, you know, which was just absolutely incredible. I had the privilege of teaching as well, you know, lots of people, you know, lots of people with some challenges as well, and you know, taking them from where they were to where they are today, and continue to be friends and contacts as well. And you know, that was just great. And you know, in terms of martial arts, it's, and I'm sure there's probably a number of people on here that also practice, and you know, you will appreciate the, you know, the elements that it brings to your life. And it is, of course, it's the physical, you know, the body conditioning and all those sort of aspects, but it's the mind as well. And you know, there's what they term the tenets, and I'll stick on Taekwondo for the moment, which is a Korean martial art. And the tenet, which is essentially an opinion, a principle, a doctrine, really, well, that person holds, you know, within the style and maintains as true. And there's a number of tenets. And one is courtesy. That's absolutely number one. Integrity is another one. Perseverance, self-control, and indomitable spirit. So indomitable spirit, you know, someone strong, brave, determined, and you know, difficult to defeat. I mean, that is the principle. And you can see how those tenets of that martial art could be very, very well applied to business. You know, have courtesy, have integrity in what you do. Be, you know, have perseverance, because as Jack said and Mark said, you know, through this process, you can have good days, but my goodness, you can have tough days as well. And you've got to persevere in this journey. You know, self-control. And Mark and I, we've seen, you know, a number of people, you know, through our business careers, and you generally see people in their true self when they're under pressure. When the chips are down, when there's a lot of issues flying around, you tend to see the true person, and that calm individual that, you know, performed really well at interview, you know, at the outset, can just turn into somebody completely different when under pressure. So the self-control element is really important, and the indomitable spirit. And this is very much, you know, when you're in the thick of it, your true determination to keep going, putting one foot in front of the other, you know, counting the days, you know, celebrating the highs, accepting there are lows from time to time, but just celebrating the highs and coming out of the day saying, look, I've achieved, I've moved forward. And if you just keep doing that, you will absolutely achieve, you know, anything you want to do. And we've, you know, all of those points, Mark, you know, in business, we've held them true to this day, and it's delivered the success that, you know, we've achieved. So, you know, very grateful for it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not just talking the talk, it's walking the walk, isn't it? And these principles have embedded themselves in everything we do at Ekra Academy, and also the high standards we hold our personal selves to as well. So we've got a free gift for you. One of the books that we wrote about 3 years ago now, actually 2018, commercial to residential conversions. So there's a free download of the PDF of commercial to residential conversions there for you. If you go to our website, just careful of the spelling, www.equaacademy.co.uk/news, and you can register there, and we'll there'll be a download of that free gift of that book there. So there's about 380 pages there in colour as well. And it's a detailed manual there. And there's some of the principles that have held us in good stead with over 100 million of developments. So a bit of a gift there for you. And don't forget the QR code in the bottom right-hand corner. And I'll spend some time with you and help to decide how we can help you in the future and maybe help you out on some few challenges you might have. So number four, in terms of mindset, embracing change. I love this quote from Charles Darwin. It's not the strongest of the species that survives, nor the most intelligent that survives. It's the one that is the most adaptable to change. And we see every day, we see that change is a constant in society, whether it be the terrible effects of what's happening in Ukraine or various other parts of the world, whether it be in the economic platform, in business, or indeed, COVID and some of our, social circumstances as well. I had the privilege a couple of weeks ago, a great friend of mine invited me to the McLaren Technology Centre in Woking. And here's a picture of that McLaren Technology Centre, Norman Foster inspired building, absolutely iconic. And you can see there lined up, it's not particularly clear, but lined up there is the whole history and heritage of McLaren Motorsports. And there's Ayrton Senna's cars there, there's Ricciardo's car there, there's so many cars, Hamilton's cars are there. But they go back to the 60s and 70s as well, the McLaren F1 car, single front seat with the two rear seats, iconic road car. If you got one of those now, they're going to be worth well over a million. But Nigel and I have had a principle over many years of not procrastinating. And our saying, which we live by, is start with version one to get to version 10. Sometimes life's challenges, they're absolutely enormous and you can't get your head around them. You've just got to make a start. And as an example, we mentioned the personal wealth dashboard. How do you bring all your affairs, insurances, mortgages, health, fitness, money, cost base? How do you bring all that together? Well, just start by opening up a spreadsheet, create a framework and do a tab each week. And within 10, 12 weeks, you'll have 10 or 12 tabs there. And all of a sudden, your life then starts to take some resemblance of control. When I dissect challenges and problems with mentees and sit down with them and we work through the problems, quite often the biggest millstone over their shoulder is that weight of they're not doing what they should be doing. They're not knowing what they know that they need to be doing. And it's just breaking that problem down and taking it step by step. So starting with version one to get to version 10 creates that evolution. And I do that myself. It might be in a presentation or it might be in creating the next investment memorandum, doing that at the moment. We're about to do an equity raise on a new development for Earn and Learn on one of our developments. So creating that investment memorandum, I'll probably do four or five versions of it, to be honest, but it all starts with version one. Here's a development. We're just about to go live on site, just closing out the final fundraise here for Runfold. This is a 9 new build houses just outside of Farnham in Surrey. So looking forward to showing our investors around this development. Been incredible growth in rental and also in capital growth for 2, 3 and 4 bed houses in Surrey over the last year. So if you're interested in having a tour around that as part of Equa Earn and Learn, then again, just book a call, have a chat And these are the type of things that we immerse ourselves with within our community. And that's an example of what we do with Earn and Learn. Yes, you can come on our program, our mastermind, our mentorship, but it's great also to work with investors as well. With investors, we look after them and create not only that earning experience, but also that learning experience as well. So again, just book a call with us. Lovely to have a chat and get to know each other and see what works for us both. Now, clarity of vision. This gentleman here is what we call a sky runner. His name's Kilian Jornet. He's French, and he'll quite regularly run 50 to 100 miles in 10, 12 hours. And this quote here, when a person is sufficiently motivated, discipline takes care of itself. So you see that D word, discipline, is coming in time and time again, holding yourself to the highest level of discipline and accountability. And it starts with that clarity of vision. No point in going quick if you're going in the wrong direction. You've got to decide what is your compass bearing, your moral compass bearing that you're heading on, and hold yourself in a disciplined way to those principles. And I did that myself, just a personal short story. I did the Marathon de Sable about 10 years ago, which is about a 270-kilometer race through the Moroccan Sahara Desert. And as you can see from the state of my feet, you know, it smarts a bit in a few areas. You know, you go through a bit of physical pain. It's not known as the toughest foot race in the world for nothing, a very arduous campaign. But I had to get my head around this, really focus. But our mindset is always, whatever we set ourselves to achieve, we've already achieved it in our mind. We've just got to work out the steps that we go through. And you can see from my eyes there, deep into my eyes there, you know, it really took me to the bottom of my reserve tank. But there was half a dozen lessons from my career in ultramarathon running, which I'd like to share with you. Firstly, is never underestimate the power of what the mind and the body in concert can achieve. It's absolutely incredible. When you've been running for 15, 16, 17 hours nonstop, and your body just wants to lie down under a hedge and go to sleep. Obviously, in the desert, there wasn't even a hedge. You know, there's something in your mind that says, don't give up. And your mind has to differentiate between the two types of pain. And you have to have the awareness to differentiate between something that smarts a bit, you know, a few blisters there on the heels, or toenails falling off, or chafing. There's an interesting one, chafing. I always found that hard. Those, they're not going to take you out. They're mildly inconvenient, all of those, but having the wherewithal to recognize hypothermia, heat stroke, those sort of things there, which really can, you know, by the time you've got it, you're incapable of solving the problem. So different types of risks there, and awareness of combating them. Have great daily habits. Nutrition, Jack mentioned nutrition earlier on, health, training, you know, having that discipline to keep those great daily habits. There isn't one thing that you can do once that will achieve anything. It's lots of things that you do on a regular basis that gradually evolve and transform. Set a big goal. My goal was to run, you know, best part of 270 kilometers through the Sahara in 52 degrees heat. That was the hottest day. Set a big goal, set a lofty goal, and you'd be amazed how you can achieve it. Having the right fuel, the right mental fuel, the right nutritional fuel, but it was the fuel of positive thoughts, that mindset of I can achieve, I will achieve. I might be crossing the start line, but I've already mentally know that, like, the crossing the finishing line is absolutely not in doubt. It's just the how that I've got to navigate. As I said before, knowing the direction of travel, knowing the terrain, and what vehicle you need to do to take you down that route. Now, that could be what business structuring, tax efficiency, it could be the mindset, but it's knowing what type of a direction. It's the classic start with the end in mind. And never, ever stop. Okay, as hard as it got, and I didn't run all the event, you know, you slow down to a walk at some stage, you have to, particularly on the slopes and the dunes, but you never, ever stop. And that's a euphemism in life, isn't it? You never stop progressing, never stop learning, never stop growing. You might not be leaping yards ahead each day. It might be feel like you're just going inches or centimeters ahead each day, but you're always learning. And finally, look, there is no pain at the finishing line. Yeah, that's 5.5 days solid of running through a desert. And like everything's good when you cross that finishing line and achieve the goals that you set out. That quiet contemplation of knowing you set out to achieve has now been concluded. And we're about to embark on that. This is another development here of 8 new build houses that we've got in planning. We're expecting planning permission through. And this has taken us over 2 years now. It's got a GDV of over 3 million, raising private capital on a fixed interest loan note there. And we've had to overcome quite a significant amount of challenges here, but we're almost there now with planning for this Cambridgeshire site of 8 new build houses. Humility. I strongly believe humility is one of the biggest strengths in business. As Harry Truman said, it's amazing what you can accomplish if you don't care who gets the credit. No egos, loads of humility. You know, if you're humble, remain humble and grounded, you won't become complacent. And being humble on your economic equation, what is it you need to achieve? What are you looking to achieve? Start with the end in mind and how you want to make your money. Is it capital growth? Is it cash flow? Again, this is playing your own game and not being not swerving to follow somebody else's game. We see that a lot. You know, it's knowing what your economic equation is and then structuring your fundraising, your investment, whatever structure that looks like, you know, to serve you and others, the other stakeholders involved. We created a model, which is these core 7 fundamentals of building wealth in property. And this is what we do, and we help others in achieving that. So first of all is the mindset and focus of property development. Then there is the foundation strategies of the various asset classes. And the cash flow, whether you need cash flow in your life, you know, you must control the cash flow in your life and the methodology. Yeah, there's well over 10 fundamental principal layers of leverage to enable you to work smarter and create that scale and growth in your life and to enable the growth of those valuable assets, the building assets, not just physical property assets. There are 8 sets of assets that you can create. There's then the protection of that wealth. No point in creating the wealth if you don't protect it. And then, of course, there's the performance measurement, programming and scaling of that. So that they're the fundamentals we look at. And obviously, there's a lot of intensity around each one of those. That knowing your economic equation is hugely important, as I mentioned before. And I just want to highlight just very quickly what our economic equation looks like. First of all, it starts with an asset. And that asset, we need to, number one, create the right structure to put that asset in. That might be a buy-to-let. Do we put it in an LLP, a limited company, a trust, a SaaS, you know, whatever. You know, there'll be compliance, governance. Obviously, we can't put it in a SaaS pension because it's residential. But so we put it in the right structure. And that then creates asset cash flow. That creates tax efficiency. Now, at that point, we will be putting contributions into our SaaS pension. And two of the core things that we enjoy doing with our SaaS pension is acquiring commercial property sometimes third-party loans, but acquiring commercial property and also doing a loan back. So from the cash flow that's generated, we put contributions into our pension. We then use the loan back to loan to our own company, which is at the lowest cost of capital. Imagine the last loan back we did took us 2 weeks to arrange, took, cost us £250, and we loaned £250,000 from our pension to our limited company. And we did that 1.5% per annum, not per month, per annum. A very, very cheap source of funding, bridge funding at 1.5% a year. So it's about driving that weighted average cost of capital down on our programs. And our deployment programs. Property deployment programs, lowest cost of capital means we can do more of them. We can buy more buy-to-lets, more commercial property, more land, put them in the right structure, and do the second asset, the third asset, the fourth asset. So they're the fundamental principles of our economic equation. And we set you that challenge of what is your economic equation? Can you draw that? Everybody needs an economic equation. Otherwise, when you get a development, whatever scale of development you do, will debt be the right level? Will equity give you the right return? You know, you have to understand the basis. And I've raised over 35 million of private investor capital over many years now. And I help people set the principles of how they raise private investment. What's the right structure, compliance, governance, so that you can have assured outcomes, and making sure that raising private capital, you know, is not one of the things that you're remiss and you don't achieve on, because it will fundamentally affect your strategy if you get it wrong. These are the four things Nigel and I do in Equa Academy. Just briefly, we have the Equa portal. So if you go to equaacademy.co.uk, it's free resources, training material, free books, webinar recordings, they're all there for you. And we do a two-day property masterclass. Got one of those coming up at the end of June. We do a monthly mastermind, and we do one-to-one mentorship, personal one-to-one mentorship, which is very bespoke. So they're the four things that that we do. Ironbridge House, that's just an example of the larger scale development. That's just under 20 million GDV, and that should be complete in the next 4 to 6 weeks. So that one's going well. And then one of the final areas of mindset is the challenging tradition. And you'll see that. I love this this picture here from an architect's house. You know, who said you have to use the stairs to go down? Built a slide there. I'm not sure my hallway is quite large enough just yet to have a slide and a spiral staircase, but it's beautiful. And we've put challenging tradition into practice a number of times, leaving careers, family time, SaaS, valuing our time, tax transformations, and giving back.
Careful.
So we're also contrarian. I mentioned Zurich House earlier on. When we developed Zurich House, we pulled out about 4,000 hypodermic needles. It was a real drug den, not a nice building at all. And from doing that, I think somebody just needs to put themselves on mute, please. So being contrarian is a different way of looking at things. So from taking a drug den, and transforming it into beautiful apartments, we can be very proud of that as developers. But the contrarian thinking for us is, what have we done to help the social need? What most developers will have done is kick the can down the road in solving those social problems. Now, we don't have the skills to solve the overnight sleeping and the drugs problem in Crawley. So what we did, we set up Cornerstone Place with a couple of great guys, Richard Kennedy and David Ball. And our vision is to help alleviate street homelessness by 2030. And we are creating over 10 million homeless bed nights over the next couple of decades, which will save 32 million each year recurring by the taxpayer, which will be enough funds to employ over 400 nurses, 200 firefighters, 200 police, and over 200 social workers. And we're doing that by, this is through supported living, creating commercial property, developing it into residential property, long-term contracts. And we've just got over the finishing line our next development. This one, relatively small, about 14 rooms. And as of last Friday, the first homeless people started to enjoy warmth, security, privacy in our new commercial premises there, which is absolutely amazing. We've got 20-year leases on there, and we've got a 2 million homeless bed night pipeline there, which will come to fruition in the next 6 months. So massively enthusiastic about that. And finally, about respect of your time, a mindset of your time is hugely important. Many entrepreneurs give their time away for free, and you have a finite capacity there. So think of the scarcity. Look at the return on time employed or return on time invested. Look at leverage, embed your respect of your time within your strategy. And if you need a reminder, go and have a look at the eyes of your children looking up at you. You know, where do you want to spend your time? So the personal transformation for all of us moves from procrastination to guided action, self-doubt to inner belief, lack of confidence through to radiating confidence, that random effort to clarity, a clear roadmap, from a position of having no funding to a process which enables you to secure all the funding you'll need for your strategy. No deals to abundant deal flow. That's what Nigel does day in, day out, secures great deal flow. And move from being a follower to a leader of your own destiny. Here's George Russell climbing out of his Williams last year. You know, he was underperforming in the wrong car, the wrong team last year. Charles Schulz said, "There is no heavier burden than an unfulfilled potential." If you feel you're underperforming, you know, we can help you. There are ways that you can improve your destiny and achieve your goals. Hugely important. There's a QR code. Just book a call with me. And, you know, you're on the start line now. There's a huge opportunity that awaits you. And we've been through the tough times. We have the business acumen and the credibility to back up our courage of our convictions. And we've got racy targets ourselves. You know, we push ourselves because we enjoy what we do. And that, I think, is the privilege of living a life of choice. So on behalf of Nigel and myself, you know, it's been an absolute privilege to share some of our experiences with you. We wish you all the very best. And Jack, hugely appreciate the opportunity you've given us to share some of the wisdom of our years.
Thank you, Mark. Once again, thank you, Nigel. I'm blown away with this presentation. There's so much learning, in fact, for everyone. And for those who have been through this process, it's always a great reminder, and I'm super humbled. I've got a few questions for you, Mark and Nigel.
Go for it.
If you stop sharing the screen, then I can see you. Here is the first question, which a very close friend of mine has asked. Give us a story about when and how you dealt with a wanker.
So we've had a few of them in our lives from time to time. Look, I think we haven't got time in our lives for conflict. You know, we're very diplomatic. You probably just tell from the tone of our voice. Yeah, I'm not even going to spend time with people who don't align, but I'll be courteous. You know, everybody's on their own journey. Yeah. We had an investor about 4 or 5 years ago, probably a little longer, wanted to invest about £400,000. And they started asking some pretty specific questions. They wanted to be involved in signing off the design, choosing the colour of the paint on the walls. Mm-hmm. And that's not what we wanted from an investor. Come along, be engaged in the process. But I asked the investor, okay, well, if you want to be signing off design, what would be the timescales for sign off? And they said, well, probably every 10 days. Like, you know, it's got heartache written all over it and delays and things. So just very diplomatically, you know, all of a sudden we were fully funded and we, you know, we agreed to, you know, reconnect in the years to come. So it was, you just have to be diplomatic in life. Don't burn bridges. Life's too short. Don't be aggressive. I find social media is just full of highly opinionated people. Again, we haven't got time for that in our lives. So there we go. I'm glad that one resonated.
There's another question for you, which actually comes from me. A quote that was just shared by yourself was, a pound saved is easier than pound earned. Yes, I agree. However, what if I don't want to live a life where I have to think too much about money? So I don't want to walk into a Starbucks and say, I have to spend $3.50? If I don't want to live that kind of life, which I don't, but I'm just saying this, that's a question for everyone. There are people out there who are thinking, okay, I don't want to be thinking about every pound saving. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think we're talking about points of principle here. I think one thing that will help people get their heads around this is it doesn't mean you spend necessarily less, but it's where you spend it. Mm-hmm. We preserve with a passion after tax pounds. Mm-hmm. So if you think of the flow of funds after it's been taxed, because personal funds, you know, where do you get your personal funds from? They're normally after tax has been deducted, whether it be, you know, after corporation tax, you get dividends, or after income tax, you get your salary. So we work with our accountant, we put as much cost as we can into the businesses in a, you know, an ethical and then compliant manner. But we also live a lovely life as well. You know, we do combine our business and our personal interests as well. I mean, there's clear delineation. But yeah, I'd agree. You don't want to live a life of penny pinching, but it's finding that balance. And I can't tell you or anybody else what your balance should be. You know, it's finding that yourself. But the earned income that we create is very specifically analyzed from a tax efficiency perspective. And that's the key philosophy here.
Absolutely. I totally agree, Jack. I think it is a choice, you know, it is a choice. Absolutely. But, you know, the way that we want to conduct our businesses is very much from a point of view of efficiency. It's probably the engineers coming out in us. You know, we thrash ourselves on the 1% that we get wrong and don't celebrate the 99% we get right. But that's just the nature of who we are. And so therefore, if we can become efficient, and, you know, it doesn't take long to get efficiency in your life and cutting away the things that you don't really want or you don't really use or these sorts of things, and you're there. And then it's just regular check-ins to just make sure you're okay. And that maybe sounds like that's a big part of our world, but it absolutely isn't. It's just we've got the models, and it's a very easy process to do from time to time.
I personally feel also that those who, in fact, this is something that I learned from Dr. Wayne Dyer. I'm a big fan of Dr. Wayne Dyer. He said, the day you learn to save money is the day you learn greatness in you, because that's the only way you can actually get to a point where you can go and help other people.
Exactly.
So that's something I learned from him. Here's another question. How do you create self-control? Because I saw Mark talking about self-control a lot. How do you create more self-control around you, irrespective of what the control is about? It could be about saving money or investing money or being disciplined enough to, you know, do your workout and your nutrition. How do you create that self-control and discipline?
That's a great one, that is. And holding ourselves to the highest standards, you know, personal accountability, you know, Nigel and I hold each other accountable, and we welcome that. You know, we challenge each other. I don't think there's a single business decision that we make, you know, without discussing it, because we want the best outcome. Likewise, if I'm having conversations with my family members as well, I'm sure Nigel is the same. It's about bringing people on that journey as well. There's no ego. You know, we've seen ego in Nigel, haven't we? Ego in leadership, and that ego of making decisions. And like, there are ways of standing on stage and bringing your team with you, along with you, and standing on the shoulders of giants. You're treating everybody there as an equal. Hugely important.
Very much so. And I think also, just to add to that, you know, in terms of one of our key drivers is legacy and family. You know, you probably heard there, we've got 4 children each. and as we go through our days and our weeks, you know, we love to share. You know, a lot of the family members are in the business as well. You know, the kids are in the business, the shareholders of the business, etc. And we love to share it, and they're around it, and they start to then, you know, Dad, have you thought about this? I don't quite understand that. And, you know, so, and 10 to, you know, 9 times out of 10, that kind of looking from the periphery in gives us great, well, it serves us really well, actually, and gives us good ideas and, you know, different ways of thinking, et cetera, et cetera. But because we want to maintain, we want to become relevant, don't we, in that day. And there's no better way than just sharing your thinking, and you're getting the feedback. So that works really well for us.
I think it's the humility that plays the biggest part. I always share in wherever I'm sharing my experience. I believe in my life, humility has played absolutely the biggest part. And the more humble a person becomes, the easier it gets to deal with challenges, the easier it gets to be able to create a feedback loop to be able to improve every aspect of our business and life. But I do believe what you're sharing at the course, it's a great humility.
Thank you.
Last but not the least question to both of you, and a cheeky question of that as well, but I think people want to know this, right? And there are 2 questions, both correlated. What kind of interest rates, fixed interest rates, do you normally propose to your external investors, that's equity investors? And within that correlated is, where did you find a bridge loan for 1.5% per annum?
Okay, yeah, exactly. So I'll answer the second one first. So where do you find a bridge, commercial bridge loan at 1.5% per annum? You can't. You can't. However, if you have your own bank, think SAS pension, then you can have that as a recurring loan back facility. So you have to think expansively, think differently. In terms of returns that we provide, I mean, this isn't a pitch, but, you know, typically I think you'll find somewhere in the region of, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12% would be a kind of typical. But there's so much more about compliance, governance, relationships, investability, and whether the investor's looking for debt returns, looking for equity, profit share returns, where they are on their risk reward profile, diversification, and hence just, you know, drop me a line and I'm more than happy to have a chat. We offer earn and learn as well, where return comes not just necessarily in a financial return with a reasonable security, a solid security backed, but also you know, different intangibles like learning and surrounding yourself with great people.
Thank you, Mark and Nigel. I cannot express in words, you know, how privileged we are to hear your experience. And I definitely recommend people to go and grab that book, Conversions, Commercial to Resi Conversions. I have read that book myself. In fact, I've read 2 of Mark's books, and they're both absolutely amazing. Go and check out Mark's. So obviously check out the company website, Equa Academy. There's loads of free resources you can go and use. But like I said, right at the start of the session, success is all about the person you become who will attract that. And the only way to be able to get to that point is by literally focusing and learning from people who've been through the journey, like Mark and Nigel here. So go get registered on their website, grab those free material first before you make your mind up to take anything further. But I have known Mark for a very, very long time, very, very humble, lots of wisdom, and I'm pretty sure there's a lot more in Mark that you can learn from what you just saw. That's just a tip of the iceberg. But yeah, thank you, Mark, once again. Absolute pleasure. Thank you, Nigel.
Thank you, Jack. All the best for the rest of the week.